Everything is very good. Weather seems to be kind, conducive, as we say, conducive for the day's program. And we are all relaxed. That's important. This weekend, next weekend, about 6 hours altogether. We'll be together trying to learn a little bit about Buddhism, how it came into being, I'm not saying history, because history itself is completely independent science. It's not that easy.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear. What can I do? Right. Shout? Okay. Okay. Let me take some water. Okay, I was saying we will be trying to understand how Buddhism came into being. Is that the way I should be speaking? Diana?
Yeah,
it's okay?
A little better, but a little louder would be better. I can't hear you.
Even louder.
A little louder.
Oh, I wish we had a mic. I can't shout very much.
No, I don't want you to shout, but that's much better. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Shall I go on?
Please. Sorry.
Okay. Before go on, I have to come back.
Too long, dark.
Yes. In Buddhist tradition, especially in Tibetan Buddhism, if you open, say, commentary, classical book, commentary, you will find the mentioning in the beginning, the Buddha, in the beginning, he generated enlightenment, thought. In the middle, he accumulated merits and wisdom. For three dhamma,
innumerable
aeons, right? And at the end, he attained the complete enlightenment. So we talk from his enlightenment. I'm not going to talk about how he got enlightenment. But after attaining enlightenment, what was his mission? Of course, Buddha's mission was to show the path that he has traveled and establish sentience to the state of enlightenment, right?
What was that word? He established what? I couldn't hear. What did Buddha establish?
What was I saying? okay, enlightenment. Okay? That was his mission. So, the first work or mission was to give teachings in simple words. In classical language, as you all know, it is called turning the wheel of Dharma. Turning the wheel of Dharma. That simply means giving the teaching of the new path he has found. Okay? Turning the wheel of Dharma is a technical word. Dharma Chakra Parvatana in Sanskrit. Dharma Chakra Parvatana means turning of the wheel of Dharma. Turning, why it's called turning? Because he was not just repeating what, you know, other seers before him and those contemporary with him from whom he has learned certain ancient tradition, Dharma, but he found certain new way of going through the enlightenment. Parivartan, even in today in Hindi, we say Parivartan means a change. Parivartan, turning of the wheel just doesn't mean doing something physically or, you know, or verbally, going round and round. It doesn't mean going round and round. Because if you keep going round and round, then you will not reach anywhere, right? So he was showing, he was proposing to show a new path, okay? That's one point I thought I should make in the beginning. The first turning of the wheel of Dharma took place in the same year in which he got the enlightenment. And we all know it took place in Varanasi, in the deer park that is now called Sarnath. It's one of the four pilgrimage centers, Buddhist pilgrimage centers in India. And the subject matter of that Dharmacakra was four higher truths, four
noble truths,
four higher truths. I prefer to call it four higher truths. Noble truths, it's, you know, popular name, but it's difficult to explain, you know, each. How noble each is, or how can you describe suffering as a noble? I don't know. But I say higher truths, because they are truths on higher realm, higher level, and understanding of higher, what do you say, higher way, for higher truths. Does everybody know what the four truths? Is it a new term to anybody? Please raise your hand. It's not new to anybody. That's very good. Okay, so there is sutra, and both in Pali and Sanskrit, which is now in Tibetan and must be in Chinese. Dharmacakra Pavatana Sutra. Of course, different versions are there, some bit longer, some shorter. But there are these texts. And that teaching was the first and the main teaching of Buddha. His Holiness Dalai Lama mentions that this idea or this teaching of four noble truths or four higher truths is like a blueprint, master plan, or basic framework of Buddha's teaching, Buddhism. So this will help to understand the basic structure, basic idea of Buddhism. Hmm? that sutra, which is available now, called Dharmachakrapavattana Sutra, is the main text of the first turning of the wheel. Okay? Then there are other sutras, other teachings like Vinaya Sutra, Lalita Vistara Sutra, etc. They also belong to this category. Okay, that's the first turning of the wheel. And actually, the turning of the wheel of Dharma, the name came from this. Now about the second one. The second turning of the wheel took place at the Jagupumburi in Tibetan, Great Raj Parvat, or usually Virtuous Peak Hill. Virtuous Peak Hill, now in the state of Bihar in India, not very far from Bodh Gaya. Virtuous Peak in English, but the Great Raj Parvat, it is a hill. That is the place where, according to Mahayana tradition, the second turning of the wheel took place. I forgot to mention, at the first turning of the wheel, there were 5 monks, 5 human disciples. And many celestial beings also came to listen, but basically 5 human beings, 5 monks. In the second turning of the wheel, on top of these 5 monks, many more Bodhisattvas also joined, and many more Devas also came to listen this. The subject matter was emptiness. Buddha talked about emptiness. And the name of the second turning of the wheel is Tsenyi Mebe Chukor. Tsenyi Mebe Chukor. Tsenyi is mark, Mebe is less, markless. Markless means Tsenyi is Lakshana, and Tsenyi Mebe must be a Lakshana, is it? In Sanskrit. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The subject matter is emptiness. Paggyaparamita Sutra. There are so many versions of Paggyaparamita Sutras. Most popular and oldest, according to the historians, is Gyatongpa, 8,000 verses. Ashta Sahasrika Pragyana Paramita Sutra. Right? Then there are 100,000 verses, 25,000 verses, many versions of Pragyaparamita Sutra. All these are categorized in the second turning of the wheel. Right? And then there are other Pragyaparamita related sutras such as popular Heart Sutra, Vajrachedika Sutra, Lankavatara Sutra, and so on and so forth. That is the second turning of the wheel. Third, third turning of the wheel took place in a place called Yangbachen. Vaishali, also in the state of Bihar, Vaishali, still a famous place for pilgrimage. Buddha gave a very special teaching here to do with philosophical tenets. Now, this is more for the follower of the tenet of mind only, or Yogacharya, Chitta Matra. Okay. In the second turning of the wheel, Buddha said, things are markless. There is no mark. There is no mark means there is no mark of inherent existence, independent existence. But in the third turning of the wheel, Buddha said, well, most of the things, phenomena, lack inherent existence, but certain things maybe you can understand having some marks of real existence. So he made a distinction. Therefore, it is called, the third turning of the wheel is called Lekpar number Chewa. The teaching of teaching with, well, distinction. He meant distinction in this teaching. Okay? And this teaching is more suitable to those who are inclined in the mind only way of school. Is it clear? one text, one sutra is Dodi Kungpa Ngendrel. Dodi Gundel. You know the Sanskrit? Sandhi Nimochana Sutra. Sandhi Nimochana Sutra is Sanskrit. And in Tibetan, it is called Dodi Kungpa Ngendrel. What should be the English name?
Distinguishing the thoughts and something like that.
For the time being, let us say the sutra with distinction. That is the main teaching, that is the main sutra of the third turning. Out of these three turning of the wheels, there is not much quarrel or discussion or disagreement about the place and the time, etc. For the first turning of the wheel, because it was more like historical, so to speak. The year Buddha got enlightenment, the same year he gave, soon after his enlightenment. In fact, he gave this teaching, that is the first one. And second, in Chagrupumburi, Parikya Paramita Sutra, dealing with Shunyata or emptiness. And the third one, making distinction between true existence and non-true existence. These are more like according to the capacity of the thought or understanding of the people it may be understood. They are more for the people of higher level of understanding. Okay. So, you know the names of these four tenets, Buddhist schools, philosophical tenets, Dodepa, Chiramawa, yes, sorry. First, Chiramawa, Vaibhashika, Dodepa, Sautantrika, Samsamba is Yogacharya, and Umapa Madhyamika. There are four school of thoughts in the Buddhist texts. These four school of thoughts should not be confused with four tradition of Tibetan Buddhism. They should not be confused, because the And what we are talking is the four school of thoughts in the Buddhism in India. So everybody knows the name. If you don't remember each name, don't worry. But the first two, Vaibhashika and Sautantrika, are known as lesser vehicles tenets. And Chitta Matra and Adhimika are said Mahayana tenets. Okay? Of these three turnings of the wheel, the first turning of the wheel, it deals with four higher truths. Four higher truths. It's for everybody, but directly for the people with understanding of lesser vehicle, but it is for everybody. And the second turning of the wheel deals with the ideas and philosophy of Madhyamika, because it talks about shunyata, the emptiness. And the last one, the third one, is exclusively according to the ideas of what?
Mind only,
okay. Mind only school, Chitta Matra or Yogacharya. One should understand that all the teachings of Buddha can be categorized into three categories. I saw a note prepared by Professor Amy Miller. It's very interesting. Sets of three, sets of four. Buddhists, and I think it is a mental to do something with mentality of those ancient people. They are very fond of systemizing, right? Like a set of three, like a set of four. 10, etc. So this three turnings of the wheel is one set of three. Then there is another set of three, is Dene Sum. Three Pitakas. Pitakas? It's in Sanskrit, Tripitaka. Three means three. Pitaka means container or basket. So all these teachings contained in the three turnings of wheel can also be categorized into another three sets. That is three Tripitaka, Tripitakas, three baskets. Everybody has heard three baskets? Yes? Is it new to anybody? No. Oh. Everybody seems to be experts.
No, it's new to me.
It's new to you.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Three Pitakas. I'm happy to find somebody whom I can talk. They are called Three Pitakas. Pitakas sometimes translated as baskets. Because if, for example, these books are to be shifted to another building, how to do it? One way is just take away whichever you can hold. The other is to make systematic categorization. And say, okay, put all the books dealing with history here, all the books dealing with psychology here, and so on, like three. In that way, Buddhist teachings are also categorized subject-wise into three. They are called Tripitakas. In Tibetan, Dhenyo Sum. These three Pitakas, three baskets. They deal with three trainings. And three trainings are higher training of conduct, sutim. Higher training of wisdom. Yeah, before wisdom, samadhi should come. Higher trainings of concentration or samadhi. And the third is higher training of wisdom, pragya. These are three subject matters of three baskets. The basket of Vinaya. Vinaya means rule of conduct, mainly for the monastic, but not exclusively monastic. Conducts, good conducts, pure conducts. Subject dealing with this kind of conducts are called Vinaya Pitaka. Okay? The sutras dealing with concentration or samadhi, they are called what? Bodhidhana, right?
Sutra basket.
And the third one? Those sutras dealing with the subject matter of wisdom, they are called Abhidharma, higher wisdom, right?
Right.
knowledge.
Knowledge, yeah. And these three subject matters are called what? Three trainings, three special trainings. Lakpe, lakpa, I think means three. Lakpe, lakpa sum in Tibetan means three special trainings. They are called lakpa sum. How many of you have heard the word, Tibetan word, lakpa sum? You have heard. Who has not heard?
And they don't know the name of the learning center.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I knew it was a connection there.
Okay, lakpa sum means three trainings. And lakpa sum becomes lapsum in short form in Tibetan. So this place is called lapsum Siedrup Ling. So I'm happy, I feel fortunate to be talking about lapsum in the lapsum Siedrup Ling, thanks to Joshua, Diana, and all the members of the center and all of you. Okay. There's no confusion about the first training of conduct, and the training of samadhi, or concentration. It is same as shine, shamatha, Sanskrit, shamatha, or in Pali, samatha. Shine, you have heard? And Sanskrit, shamatha, okay? It's translated into English as calm abiding, but I prefer to call it calmly abiding. Isn't that better? Calmly abiding. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Grammatically correct?
I think so, yeah. Probably better.
Okay. Shine. And shine and samatha, shamatha, same. And lakton, which is higher insight, deeper insight, lakton is the same. Lakton means the same as vipassana or vipassana. Vipassana, Pali. And this vipassana centers, this tradition, vipassana camps, centers, they are doing excellent contribution for the basic understanding and basic practices of Buddhism. We have about 10 minutes more. Should we take some question?
I think in the second session it's better for questions.
Oh, okay.
Twelve o'clock.
Oh, we are here till 12.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Next, we will talk about the three councils. Three councils, many of you, some of you at least, must have heard. After the parinirvana, after the passing away of Buddha, you know, in the beginning, everybody was overtaken by grief and suffering and sad, and it took some time. But then slowly the senior monks, the elders, they got this idea that Buddha's teachings must not be forgotten, because with the change of generation, if the teachings are forgotten, and that will be a great loss for future. So then the elders discussed. And they decided to do something. And in fact, the same year in which Buddha passed away, this first council or first assembly took place. The year of Buddha's passing away is great, Nyokta Chenpo.
Nyokta Chenpo. Great trouble? Okay.
Great confusion.
Confusion.
Okay. Because even one goes by Tibetan records, I found a mention of various dates. And a very famous scholar who passed away about 20 years ago, Seten Shabdung. Have you heard? Seten Shabdung. He noted that there are four categories of the dating of Buddha's passing away. Very long ago, the longest one and the shortest one, and longer one and shorter one. Am I saying correctly?
Yeah.
There are four. Mm-hmm. Very long, mm-hmm. Long, short, shortest. Okay? Can you say that in better English?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Is that right?
Yeah.
According to Adisha Dipankara's some writings, Buddha passed away four thousand one hundred plus years ago.
Wow. Very long.
Very long.
From now or from when Atisha wrote it?
No, from now.
Oh, from now.
From now. From now means from this or last century. From not necessarily this year, but yeah, 4,100 plus. And he mentioned the shortest. Shortest is the present, the Theravada tradition, which is recognized now. Today, it's universally recognized date of Buddha's passing away, 2560 what? Does anybody remember? Hmm. 2560 plus, huh? Something. Somebody please check that, and next session we'll mention that. And that seems to be more we can't say correct or incorrect, but more easy to accept in today's way of understanding. And each of these different deaths are based on certain source and certain materials, and it is very difficult. For example, if we try to combine them and make a consensus kind of, you know, knowing, it's almost impossible. So normally when we talk about Buddha's passing year, passing away year, it is according to the Sri Lankan tradition. It's Theravada tradition, which is universally recognized now, okay? What was the immediate happening before the assembly of the first council was following? Bhikkhu Ananda was Buddha's personal attendant, and he took care of Buddha's everyday needs, like remaking Buddha's clothes and washing his utensils, begging bowls, and things like that, and also attending Buddha's medical needs whenever. So he didn't have much time, although he received all the teachings, because he was with Buddha all the time, but he didn't have much time to meditate, because he was busy. And it was the senior most monk at that time was Mahakashyap. Kashyap, Usung in Tibetan, Kashyapa or Kashyap. He was the senior most, and he knew that Ananda, Bhikkhu Ananda, must be part of this first council. because he had intimate contact with Buddha, not only listening the teachings, but in, you know, conversations and everything. So he must be part of the first council. That is what the senior monk Kashyap thought, and he realized that it's important. But problem was, the Ananda has not attained arahatship because he didn't have time to meditate. Then Mahakashyap also realized that there is only one way to make him to attend that realization, arahatship, and that can be done only by scolding him, blaming him, making him sad. So the Mahakashyapa, the senior monk, decided to scold him publicly, and he was called in assembly, in a assembly, and he Mahakashyapa scolded, "You made so many mistakes during your service to the Buddha." And he categorized these mistakes into 8. Blames, 8, what do you call, faults. And most of these are seemingly non-serious, but it was made to look like these are very serious. One was, the first was, Maha Pragyapati, Buddha's stepmother, you know, Buddha's mother, real mother, died after 1 week of Buddha's, Siddhartha's birth. So his mother's sister looked after the child. And then after Buddha, after Siddhartha attaining the Buddhahood, Kungao suggested to Buddha that, why don't you put her into the Sangha? And eventually she was admitted into the Sangha. So they thought it was looking like what? Nepotism. Favoring to his stepmother. Then that was the first a blame. The second was, why didn't you request Buddha to remain longer? Because Buddha has the freedom of remaining much longer if he wished, if he was requested. Ananda failed to do that. So this is your second fault. And the third was something, once Buddha asked about something about the ancient tradition of samadhi and Ananda didn't know the answer, but he didn't say, I don't know. He said just something for the sake of saying something. That was a mistake. And when once Buddha's religious robe, it was torn, and then it needed stitching. Ananda, instead of asking someone to hold the other end, he put under his knees Buddha's cloth. Huh? So why did you do that? You should be blamed for that. It almost sounds like today's what? Court verdict. Once Buddha asked for water, and Ananda just walked nearby stream and took some water without checking whether it's pure or clean. And it wasn't clean, because some cows just were passing through the water above that point. That was fifth mistake. And the sixth was, fourth or fifth?
I had that as fifth.
Okay. After I go through, somebody just repeat, huh?
Okay.
And the next is, the senior monk said, you could have asked Buddha to give some relaxation on certain minor rules. Some rules are very minor, but the rules are rules, you know. But why didn't you ask for Buddha before he passed away? Why did you ask? You could have easily asked him. And next is, you showed Buddha's body that maybe after the passing away to the lay people. You showed Buddha's body, bare body to lay people. And the eighth is also similar. At the time of, after the death of Buddha, at the time of cremation, you didn't take particular care to, you know, properly cover the body and not taking particular care of whom to show, whom to not show, things like that, indiscriminate. So these eight blames were given, and he was severely scolded. Now, does everybody have eight?
I have eight, and I can send them to people. I'm typing it and I can email it to everybody.
No, you mentioned here.
Okay, so I have it all. Eight?
No, somebody should mention here. I don't depend on email.
I want to say it. Okay, the first was the mother. I mean, nepotism with his auntie. That's number one. Number two, why didn't you request the Buddha to remain longer? You had the ability to stay longer, and Ananda failed to ask him to stay longer. Third, in the ancient tradition of samadhi, this is what I wrote, Ananda said something for the sake of saying something instead of, I do not know. I didn't get that one.
Instead of saying, I don't know, you said just something.
Yes.
For the sake
Ananda
of...
Ananda said something for the sake of saying something instead of, I do not know.
Yep.
Fourth, instead of asking help, he put the Buddha's cloth under his knee. Mm-hmm. Why did you do that? Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yep.
Number five, once the Buddha asked for water and Ananda gave the water without checking if it was clean or not, and did you get some cow dust on it or something? Maybe the cows polluted it?
Cow was passing through, yeah.
Six. You could have asked Buddha to have given us some direction on some minor rules. Rules are rules. Why didn't you ask? You could have easily asked him. You didn't ask. Six. Seven. You showed Buddha's bare body, naked body, to lay people after he died, after his parinirvana. How could you do that? Eight. Similarly, after his parinirvana, at the time of creation, you weren't careful to cover the body properly and prepare it.
I think, yes, very good, very good.
Okay.
Yeah. So after receiving this scolding, Kungao and Ananda was very sad, of course, because Master just passed away. On top of that, now I am being blamed for these things which I didn't mean any bad thing. So he was very sad, and he said, now I will no longer bother about activities around. I will meditate, go straight and meditate. And he went away, I guess, in a forest or somewhere. And he meditated. And because of this sadness, this sudden passing, I don't know if it's sudden, this passing away of Master and all this sadness. So he, of course, he has built up all the understanding and knowledge and feeling about the path, but that was enough to make it happen. So he suddenly attained arahatship. So that is what the senior monk also wanted. So then there was certain kind of number, I don't remember, 500, my quorum was complete, so to speak. Yeah? So they had the first council first council. In Sanskrit, it's called Sangeet. And in Tibetan, Kadu. Right? Kadu Thangbo, the first Kadu, first council, first Sangeet. Yeah, it was 500 arahats were gathered, and at that time, when they were gathered, the place was near the Rajgiri, that is near the, how can I say, Rajgiri, near in Bihar, and the same area where we talked, Girija Vihara, Chagubhumburi,
Vulture Peak,
in that area. And there's name of place also, Dejen Puk, in Tibetan. I didn't find exact equivalent of that in Sanskrit. Or Pali. Anyway, 500 disciples gathered together. The sponsor or patron was the king of Magadha, Ajatshatru. Ajatshatru. Makeda. Right? He was the patron. He patronized, he made the arrangements. He sponsored, he was the sponsor. And what really happened is the upper garment of all the 500 monks, arahats, were piled up, and they made him to sit on it, and then the special thing about Ananda is he remembers everything what he has heard from Buddha, because he was all the time with Buddha. And he has particular capacity to remember everything. And then he was made to recite the teachings, the sutras. That is one of the three pitakas. Sutra Pitaka. So Ananda recited all the teachings related to Sutra Pitaka. Okay? We have 10 minutes, but I feel we stop here, this point. Huh? If one or two questions, please ask now.
Rinpoche, can you explain to people what an arhat is? I don't think they know.
Oh.
I can repeat the question, sir. For the people. people are needed.
No, it's not needed. Oh.
I have to repeat it, I think. So the question is, what is an arahat?
Arahat is translated into Tibetan like Drachomba. Drachomba. And that is translated back into English by some people as four destroyer. Others say what? What do you say?
We say arhat.
You say arhat. I think that is best. Huh? Certain technical words trying to translate is difficult. Difficult. But the idea was there for destroyer, Drachomba, or means the one who has destroyed the enemy or the foe. But as a name in this context, it doesn't sound very smooth. Nyunmomba.
Affliction?
Affliction, or trouble. Inner trouble is affliction. Inner trouble. Those who have calmed, those who have suppressed, or not only suppressed, but eliminated the inner trouble, is called arahant. Arahant or arahat, I think the same. Any other? Yes, please.
I'm a little confused about why Ananda was being chastised. I didn't understand who was doing the chastising.
It's just
for his aid.
Scolding.
The question is then, who was scolding Ananda?
Who was doing it?
Who was scolding?
It is the senior-most monk, Mahakashyapa. Senior-most monk, Mahakashyapa. Actually, in Tibetan tradition, the Mahakashyapa is counted as his immediate successor. We even say Gelsap. Gelsap means regent. So he was, Mahakashyapa was the immediate successor after Buddha's passing away.
And so then why did he feel the need to do that? Was he obviously upset with the Buddha's death and he felt the need to?
He felt the need to not only him, but other monks also felt the need of preserving Buddha's teachings. First in memory. So the responsibility fell on his shoulder. So then he adopted this method of bringing Ananda into this assembly. Is that?
It wasn't very compassionate, it seems.
Who?
It wasn't very compassionate to chastise Ananda.
The observation is it doesn't seem very compassionate to scold poor Ananda.
Yeah, I mean.
No, I would say he didn't show He didn't show that he was very compassionate. That's true. But then compassionate doesn't necessarily mean that, non-committal and let things go as it is. Compassionate act can sometimes be harsh.
I thought I understood that the reason he scolded Ananda was to help him to become an arhat through the sadness.
Yes.
And that they needed a 500th arhat.
Yes.
For the council.
Yes.
So it wasn't just to be mean.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
It was, and because he felt that Ananda was so valuable.
Yes.
Because of his great memory. His
good memory.
To recite the sutras, because he was with Buddha all the time.
Yes.
But Ananda could not participate until he became an arhat. And
yes.
The only way to make him an arhat was to make him so sad so that he would meditate and achieve this status so he could participate in the council. Is that
perfect?
Okay,
yes,
good.
Thank you.
To answer his question.
So,
yes.
Yeah, but not to complicate this, ultimately, why you would think he would be extraordinarily sad, like, but you're saying he wasn't sad enough? You would think that...
He was sad.
He was sad, but not sad enough.
Oh, before that, you mean?
Yeah, before that.
Oh, before that, he was sad because, of course, everybody was sad because Buddha passed away. But for him personally, it should be more effective, I think.
So is it not just sadness, it is that because he was serving the Buddha, he was a good administrator for the Buddha, did not have time to investigate his own mind, and therefore find ways to overcome the afflictions and obscurations in his own mind, and therefore achieve
that's
just
right.
Not sadness.
That's right, yes.
Regret that he had not achieved the overcoming of the obscurations.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
But he was certainly sad when Buddha died.
Yes. Shall we stop here?
I think that's a good place to stop. Yeah.
Thank you, Rinpoche.
Thank you.
Yeah.